When there's one verse in the Bhagavatam that says, unfortunately I don't know the Sanskrit, it says that when the term of one's material existence is nearing its end, then one comes in the association of devotees. The Bhagavatam says that. And our acharyas comment on that, saying that it's actually the opposite. That when becoming is, that's a little bit loud perhaps, when we come in contact with devotees, it is then when the term of our material existence nears its end. And I remember for myself, it was quite a few years ago, exactly, it was 40 years ago actually, and a little bit before that, I turned on my television, and immediately, well, this was when I was home from the university during the Christmas holidays, it was exactly 41 years ago, and I turned on the television and unexpectedly I saw a Swami, and there was an interview. And it was Prabhupada. He wasn't known as Prabhupada. But he was there with the devotees in San Francisco, 1967. And I only remembered a few things from that interview. One, the person whose name was Les Crane, he asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, how old are you? And Prabhupada said, 69, and I still have all my teeth. Anyway. it was so amazing. And then another thing, the person asked him, it was Les Crane, asked Prabhupada, are you liberated? And Prabhupada, in his own amazing style, said, yes, and saw all of my disciples. And that's all I remember. But I remember being attracted. And that same vacation, also on television, I must have been watching a lot of television at that time, but there was one devotee, and it was, I think it was Hayagriva or Virama. All I remember is a devotee and a big beard. And he was talking about how he walked. What? I'm afraid. I must, but it must be good also. It was growling, was making these rumbling noises. And he said, he said he was walking down the road, the street in New York, and he saw a Swami. And I remember thinking, oh, nothing like that ever happens to me. Only if something like that. I was longing for something transcendental to enter my life. And then there was, in the university, there was a course 1968, it was a, I don't remember what they called it, but it was some type of a meditation course taught by Rupanuga Prabhu, and it was one of Prabhupada's disciples. So I knew that this was going to be so important for me, because it was, I knew it was what I was looking for. Months before, I signed up, and I was just waiting. Do this, dear. Turn it down. Please, the volume.
People asking for make it loud.
So take the
Yes.
Take it. Yeah.
And I remember very expectantly waiting for the course to begin. And again, this was January. And then I went to the course, and it was a meditation course, and I really wanted to learn how to meditate. I really wanted to learn how to meditate. And in the course, the first class, he spoke about how the purpose of life is not, you know, there's no material purpose of life, and no matter what you have on the material level, you can't be happy. Things that I already knew. And when he was walking from place to place, when he wasn't speaking, he was always saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And I thought it was a little bit crazy. But he said one thing that I very clearly remember. He said, try this chanting of Hare Krishna. Chant it for 15 minutes in the morning before you go to sleep, in the evening before you go to sleep, and in the morning when you wake up. So I decided that I was going to try that. But I remember also when I was leaving the classroom, I was somewhat disappointed. Because, and this was exactly how I was thinking, I thought, I wanted meditation, and wouldn't it be my luck, I got a religion. But I did chant Hare Krishna for 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening, every day until the next class. And my experience from that, just sitting in my room and just no beads or anything, just sitting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, for 15 minutes. My experience was that this was the most powerful thing that I had ever done. I told you the beginning of the story, just so you would see that there was nothing, I wasn't bringing into my chanting of Hare Krishna some great expectation. On the other hand, I was quite disappointed that this was all it was, this chanting these words. I wanted something deep and esoteric, like the Beatles were doing. You know, they were meditating, and I wanted something like that, and to have mystical visions and things like that. All it was to chant Hare Krishna, that I tried it. And I was shocked, actually, how powerful it was. I don't know exactly what it was that I was experiencing, because it was a long time ago. But my experience was that previously I had thought that I was making spiritual advancement. But as soon as I began to chant, I my realization about my previous spiritual advancement was that I was simply like a dog chasing his tail, going around and around and around and around and not getting anywhere. And then, perhaps a few weeks later, as I continued to chant, I sort of heard a little secret and deep voice inside. And it said, "You've started so many things in your life, but you have not completed anything. Complete this. Keep chanting." And lo and behold, I did. And I'm mentioning this also so that you, because I would like to speak about japa this morning, because chanting Hare Krishna, there's, of course, when we all chant together, Sankirtan, we sing Krishna's names together. It's so wonderful, and it's easier in one sense. But also there is the chanting of japa, which is also very, very powerful. A little more difficult, but it is so powerful. And because we get together, the devotees don't live all together, and maybe once or twice or three times a week, perhaps, or four maybe, I'm not sure, that we get together and we sing, chant Krishna's names together and can dance. But there's every other day of the week. And many of us chant japa at those times, and we're alone. Not exactly alone, because we have our mind with us. But if we can take that time and improve our japa, the quality of our japa, not only the number of rounds that we chant, but the quality, we can actually experience Krishna through his holy names. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purno Sudo. The holy name of Krishna is like a Chintamani stone. That means it can give you everything that you desire. It can give you Krishna. It is Purna. It is complete. Sudo. It is completely pure. Nitya. It is eternal. Mukta. It is not of this world. Abhina Tam Nama Namano. The named person, the person Krishna and the name Krishna, Abhina, they are exactly the same. They are none different. So when we chant Krishna's names, Krishna is there, and depending upon our consciousness, he will reveal himself to us. So that is the possibility that we have every time we sit and chant. Now I will tell you another story. One day, a few years later, I was in Tokyo, Japan. We were very young and we were trying to save the world at that time. And Prabhupada had actually asked me to go to Japan because there were a few devotees there struggling. Sudama, who is no longer in this world, and his wife, Chintamani, and Bali Marjan, another devotee who ended up starting the preaching in Australia. With Upendra Prabhu. I'll tell you, and then one day, because this was 2 years later, yeah, and I was chanting my japa, and there were mats on the floor, like this. This is the standard old-fashioned Japanese mat called tatami mats. There were tatami mats on the floor, and it was a room, sliding doors. The Japanese, actually, in their culture, they don't wear their shoes inside either. So I was chanting japa in the temple room one day, which was a room about as big as this little section of
of this bigger room. And one day, amazingly enough, I heard a Hare Krishna mantra. I've been chanting 2 years, and possessing a somewhat wild mind, I've been chanting 16 rounds a day for so long, and I, as far as I remember, I never actually heard one mantra. And suddenly, by the grace of the Almighty God, I heard one mantra, and I remember where it was. It was in Shibuya-ku, in Tokyo, in our little temple room. And I was amazed. And my first thought was, oh, this is the reason why they always tell you that when you chant, you should listen. Because the effect was so different. It was like day as opposed to night. And even though from the very beginning I understood the power of the Hare Krishna, I mean a little bit of the power of it, of the Hare Krishna mantra, I never really could hear one, as far as I remember. And then I'll tell you another little story. Mm-hmm. And then I'll tell you another one, and another one, and another one. In 1972, Prabhupada visited Hong Kong, where I was at that time, and he was going to Japan, and he asked me to travel with him. There was other devotees too. So on the plane for at least part of the time, probably an hour of the time, I had the fortune of sitting next to Prabhupada. And one devotee, who I think he's no longer in this world either, his name was Sudama Vipraswami. He was in Hong Kong at that time. And he had told me, when you're with Prabhupada, you should always chant. You should always chant. So somehow I took that very seriously, especially when I was sitting next to Prabhupada. So I just chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted. I chanted Hare Krishna. I chanted every song I knew. I chanted every verse I knew, which wasn't very many. And even, and I was chanting and chanting, and even, and the person in the seat in front of us, that children said, "Stop the chanting!" Because I don't think they didn't have little movie screens in front with your own earphones, they could just turn up the volume. She said, "Stop that chanting!" And I looked at Prabhupada, and he just left. And I turned my volume down on my chanting, but I didn't stop. And then when we landed in Tokyo, when the plane landed, the first thing Prabhupada did, or before he landed, he put on fresh tilak. He always did this because the devotees were going to be there greeting him, and he wanted to have fresh tilak on. And then as we were getting up, when the plane was landed, he said, "Brijan, you have a very nice habit. There's always chanting of Hare Krishna." And then he turned to his servant at that time, who was Nanda Kumar, and said, "Nanda Kumar, you should also get this habit." Of course, it wasn't a habit that I had for any longer than I was on the plane. Ever since then, I've considered that, for me, the ideal is to always chant Hare Krishna and never stop chanting Krishna's names. I have, as I hinted at, I have a wild mind that I have to deal with. And it doesn't easily allow me to listen as I chant, what to speak of chant constantly. But any time I can hear the holy names, and any time I can chant in my mind or out loud, it is so wonderful. One experiences connection. That's probably the best way I can describe it. There is an existential loneliness that every soul experiences in this world. Do you know what I mean? There's a feeling of being separate from and alone. That every soul experiences this, being somehow cut off from something, missing an essential part of who we are, something. And we go through our life trying to, on the material level, find the missing piece. And we look in relationships, we look in education, we look in trying to get money, we look in possessions, we look in fame, we look everywhere for the missing piece. But the missing piece is our relationship with Krishna, actually. Every soul experiences this. So when we somehow are able to be with Krishna, and the simplest way is to chant Krishna's names, if one can do that, the emptiness that is part of every soul, conditioned soul's existence, it vanishes because Krishna is there. And another story. No, wait, no.
Yes.
Okay.
Can I take a chakora bird selfie from your stories? Please go on.
Okay. Another story. This one is perhaps 25 years later than all these others. And I was in Vrindavan, walking around the MVT. Maybe it was even 30 years. No, it's even a long time later. It was maybe in the late 90s or in the early part of, yeah, probably. Anyway, at some point, I was walking in Vrindavan in the MVT. And how I got to Vrindavan was also very interesting. Another story. The last time Prabhupada visited Hong Kong, he said to me, when you have been preaching for 10 years, you can go and live in Vrindavan. So, and then very soon after that, I left Vrindavan. And then I lived in Australia for a while, and then I continued doing some Gurukula preaching in the United States for quite a few years. And then one day, and it was completely unexpected by me, I somehow ended up living in Vrindavan. And I can't quite describe it now how it happened, but I was living in Vrindavan. And then, the cat walked by, looking for food. Yes. And if you happen to be the food that the cat is looking for, you better be very careful. But that's another story that we all won't tell. And then when I was living in Vrindavan and I had forgotten what Prabhupada had told me, the blessing that he gave me, and then I added up the amount of time I had been preaching, and it was 10 years and 3 months or something like that. And suddenly, just by his blessing, that I was living in Vrindavan. So when I was, one day I was walking and chanting my japa, and I was thinking, oh, because my mind was not easy to listen, so I was thinking that by chanting, I need to develop some enthusiasm about the holy names. Otherwise, unless I get some enthusiasm, my mind will remain unfocused. So the first thing is I have to say the glories of the holy name. I have to think about how important it is to chant, how glorious it is to chant, how powerful it is if we just can simply chant Krishna's names. So I began thinking like that, if I want to. And then I did that one day, and that improved my chanting. Then the next day I said, well, now I know what I'm going to do. Every day before I start chanting, I'm going to think about how important it is to chant, how glorious it is to chant, and how powerful the holy names are. But then I realized also that I should also be careful and not commit any offenses. So I have to remember the offenses too. And then I put on another few steps on some process that I was sort of creating, and then immediately, and I thought, because this is my nature, that, oh, I should immediately teach a course in this, I should immediately write a book about it or something like that. And then soon after that, and then I said, maybe I should try it for a little while first and see if it works before I write a book and teach a course and see if I could even do it. Then right after that, I was looking at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Satsastakam prayers, and I saw that that the order that I was had put together as a good way to improve one's chanting was exactly what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was already teaching. Because in the first verse, and Chaito Dharpanamajanam, if you know the verse, let's say it. Chaito Dharpanamajanam Bhavamahadjavakinavakanam Shreya Parayva Chandrikavataranam Vijavaru Jivanam Anandam Udivajanam Vritipatam Puna Amrita Asvadanam Savatna Snapadam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So this verse actually describes seven perfections that come from chanting Krishna's names, including Savatma Snapanam, the soul, the Atma, every soul is bathed in nectar. Patipatam Pona Amrita Asvadanam. It gives us step by step, pati padam, pati means every step, padam, step. It gives us pona aswadanam, the taste that we are longing for. And of course, teto dvapana marjanam, the heart is cleansed, the mirror of the consciousness is cleansed. And right now, our consciousness is covered by dust. Dust accumulated for hundreds and thousands of births. So when you look in a mirror, although in a mirror, if you look, you expect to see yourself, if the mirror is covered by dust, all you see is dust. So when we try to see introspectively, look and see who we are, all we see is the dust, all the conditioning that covers our chaitanya, our consciousness, our heart, our mind. We don't see actually, we don't see ourselves. And when we chant Hare Krishna, that mirror is cleansed. And then, if the mirror is cleansed, when we actually look at our consciousness or perceive something with our consciousness, we can actually perceive ourselves. Who we actually are, beneath all these layers of conditioning that cause us unlimited trouble and unlimited moving from one body to the next, carried adishtaya manasthayam visharupasevati, carried by the rascal mind, filled with its desires, with its icha and dvesha, its attachments and aversions. So these are some of the effects of chanting Hare Krishna. So, and in the second verse, what's the second verse? Nam nam akhuda nija sarva shakti. You have so many names of Krishna. And each name is sarva shakti. It has all your powers. You've invested, you've placed all of yourself, all of your power in your name. Tava Kripa, this is your kindness. Because if Krishna himself were to walk in here, it would be so nice. And of course we would save on our electricity bills because he's so effulgent and wonderful. But how would you have to take care of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? When you have a deity, you have to take care of him and feed him. But Krishna's holy names are so simple. So he's so kind, Krishna's so kind. He's placed all his power in his holy name. And it's so easy to access him through his holy name. All you need to do is say, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna.
But Mahaprabhu continues, and there's no restriction at all when you should chant and when you shouldn't chant. You could be clean, you could be dirty, it doesn't make any difference. You should always chant. But still, although Krishna's made himself so available through his holy names, the second verse ends, to Jaivam Idrisam Ihananu Janu Raga. Raga means attachment. And Dudaiva means unfortunate. So although Krishna is so kindly saying, here I am, take me through to my holy names, take me, be with me through my holy names, Dudaiva, I'm so unfortunate that I don't have any attraction or attachment to that. I have attraction and attachment to countless other things. Like, don't have attachment and attraction for this one thing of chanting Krishna's names. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura in his Bhajan Rahasya describes the causes that which makes us Dudaivam or unfortunate. And he lists them in four different categories, quoting from Amnyaya Sutra. The first is called Tattva Brahma. That means I don't know the philosophy, basically. And each one of these four has four parts, but I'll keep it very simple. We don't know the philosophy, including the process of advancement. Second, asat Krishna, which means I thirst. Krishna means thirsting for asat, the temporary, including wanting heavenly delights, including to get free from all suffering. Third, there's Hridaya Dulabham, which means weakness of heart, which includes desire, lava pratistadi, lava puja pratistadi, jata upasakagan, the weeds of our devotional service, wanting subtle material things, being envious of other living entities, kutinati, being diplomatic, cheating, tricking. These things make us unfortunate. And then finally, he mentions aparad, or offenses that make us unfortunate. And he lists the offenses as offenses against the holy name, offenses while you're worshipping the deity. Interestingly enough, he says offenses to ordinary people, offending just anyone. This makes us unfortunate too. And offenses against Vaishnavas, criticism and nasty feelings, and acting on nesting feelings towards devotees. Now, one of the offenses that Bhaktivinoda Thakura speaks about, especially in his Harinam Chaitamani, is called pramada, or inattentiveness while chanting the holy name. That means that I chant and my mind wanders everywhere. I sit down to chant, and immediately my mind takes it as an opportunity to travel all over the universe. And he calls this offense against the holy name the mother of all offenses, the source of all other offenses. So, because I specifically was infected with this offense, I thought that how am I going to stop it? And I thought and thought and thought and thought and thought and tried many things over the years. And I came up with a very simple system. Simple to understand and somewhat hard to do in the sense of to apply it continuously over a long period of time. You cannot, it's not like magic in the sense of we tend to look for magic cures for everything. This one takes work, but it is very simple. And after one, if one will just try this simple method, regardless of how bad our chanting may be, or how inattentive we may be, or how offensive our chanting may be, or it will help us. This is what I've seen. It is not the ultimate, because Mahaprabhu only talked about the second verse of his prayer, the Sitshastaka, but it helps so much. This is what I've found. What I found is that it brings Krishna, if we can do it, into the part of us that's missing. At least that it does. And the method is very, very, very simple. And I've mentioned it the last 2 years I was here. Each time I mentioned it. But I find that it helps me to talk about it, and also it encourages devotees if you hear the same simple principles again. Because it encourages people to try it, to try to chant attentively, because it is possible. In fact, it is not only is it possible, practically speaking, it is guaranteed that your chanting will improve, because all you have to do is listen to one mantra. One mantra. You keep it as simple as you possibly can. Now I don't have to do anything else. Just let me hear this one mantra. One mantra. One Hare Krishna. And if that's difficult, and sometimes I can say from my own experience, my mind, that is a very difficult task, just hear one name of Krishna. It's so simple. And that, what I've seen, the mind can will surrender to that. One name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Rama. So there are some simple accompanying principles when we try this simple method. One is we just try to hear one mantra or even one name if the mind is unruly, and you really make that the task and feel very happy if you succeed in hearing one mantra, because it is so powerful. One mantra, Sarva Eka Krishna Nama Papis, Sarva Papi Chai, Hoilap Sarva Papi Chai, that all sinful reactions are removed just by chanting one mantra offenselessly. So it's so simple, and it's not like a bluff. If we can hear one mantra, and really hear one mantra, it's incredibly wonderful, and we're incredibly fortunate. And don't think about, oh, now that means, now I have to hear so many more mantras. Don't even think like that, at least for this time. Just try to hear one mantra. The second principle is make a determination in your mind that this is all I have to do right now. This is all I have to do right now. I may have this problem, I may have that problem, I may have no job, I may have $10 billion worth of debt, I may have unlimited problems, And after, I can let my mind go wild and think about them, no problem. We can be happy as we possibly can be, thinking all day long about how bad we are and this problem and that problem. But at least when we're chanting Zappa at this point, put that aside. And be determined to do it right this moment. Just here 1 month and make a determination. That's called the Sankalpa. That's the second principle. The third principle is be detached. Don't worry about it if, oh, I didn't chant, I couldn't, I tried to chant this mantra and I couldn't do it and all. Just be detached, because our freedom, our choice is only on the mantra we're chanting right now. We can't correct all the mantras that we chanted for so many years in the past, and we can't properly chant all the mantras in the future that we will one day chant. We can't hear those. But the one we are now, just keep the consciousness focused on that one mantra. And be detached from everything else, and try again, and try again. Just like your daughter fell off her bicycle yesterday. And what does one learn in life? Is that, okay, I fell off and this bad thing happened, okay, but I have to try again. And that's all we have to do, and that's just try again. Which is the fourth principle, basically. Yato yato nishchalati manas tamshinam astiram. The mind is flickering. And just try and bring it back to the task at hand, which is just chanting one mantra. So that's the fruit of the second verse of Shikshastakam. The fruit of the first verse is the faith, the endeavor that, yes, I want to chant. The second one is, let me listen to one mantra. And the third verse, I'll go through four verses right now, somewhat quickly, and then we'll actually chant. And each of the verses, because the holy names are so incredible, that from the beginning stage of chanting, which begins with Shraddha, or faith, you need some faith, some enthusiasm to chant, up to the topmost level of prema bhakti on the highest level, in Vrindavan, Sri Vrindavan Dham, the holy names can carry us from the lowest level to the highest level. We don't, in one sense, need anything other than the holy names. Kalo nasteva 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 gatyanayata. So if sometimes in our life we don't know what to do, how to advance, and if we're not sure of anything else, this we can be sure of. Chant Hare Krishna. So each of the verses Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, that each of the verses of the Shikshastakam describe increasing levels from Shraddha to Prema, increasing levels of advancement, which also means increasing level of realization as we chant the holy name, a purification, a rarefication of our consciousness as we chant, an improvement, advancement as we chant. The same chanting, but someone can be chanting on the level of Shraddha, the first stage, okay, let me try this, it's wonderful, let me do it. Or someone could be chanting the same Maha Mantra on the level of pure Prema Bhakti. So what level should we chant on? Whatever level we can, what's natural for us. So in the third one, the third verse of the Shikshastakam, why don't we say that? Srinada Pisa Nichena Toroda Pisa Kishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtanaya Sadari. In this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes how to chant. How, the proper mood in the chanting. And that is basically one of great humility. How can one become humble in this world? The basic way, I'll tell you, is just go through life try to be a good devotee, try to be a good servant of Krishna, or try to do anything practically, but in our case we're talking about in devotional service. Try to be a selfless, pure soul, and you will become, before you can actually become a selfless, pure soul, selfless not meaning you have no self, but I mean unselfish, before you become to that level, you will become humble. Because you will try everything, all the tricks, all the gifts that you have, you'll try to use those to get to Krishna, and you will see that they are insufficient. You will try to control your mind, you'll try to chant every mantra and listen to one mantra or whatever, and you'll find that it's beyond your power to do it. You'll try to have a pure mind, free from thoughts of sensuous desires, and you'll find you can't do it. And you'll find that you'll try to do the right thing, and you make your vows, I'm going to read every day. From now on, how many times have I said it? From now on, I'm going to do this, and that lasts. Instead of from now on, it lasts maybe a day, or maybe even 15 minutes sometimes. Go through life sincerely trying to become a good servant of Krishna, a pure chanter, and you will become humble. Use everything that you have, all the tricks that we use in our life when we're in difficulty and want to get what we want. We're in a difficult situation and we want to get something, what we want. We use our intelligence, we use our physical strength, we use our beauty to influence, we'll use our friends, we'll use our finances. Use everything to try to become a pure servant of Krishna. And you'll find that it's insufficient and you fall on your face, not once and not 10 times, but again and again. And then you become humble. And what is the difference between being humble and being, in the contemporary psychological term, is low self-esteem and having no confidence in yourself? What's the difference between being humble and having no confidence? It is very simple. I read how Prabhupada explained it. He said, when having no confidence, he didn't talk in detail about this, but I know what it means. It means, who are you thinking about all the time? Yeah, you're just thinking about yourself, and I'm so bad, and I did this, and I have this problem, and this problem, and this problem, and I'm so bad about this. This is psychologically extremely unhealthy. But that's not what humility is at all. It's not feeling bad about yourself all day long and thinking about how bad you are all day long. That's not the humility that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is requesting that we get, and as a prerequisite for being able to chant properly. Rather, humility is when soon as you touch your insufficiency, you don't do... If you have a big, big, strong false ego, when you touch your insufficiency and your fault, what do? You blame everyone else. Or you get angry at the world, and it's this person's fault, and it's this person, and me, I never do anything wrong, and it's this person's fault, and it's this person's fault, and it's this person's fault, and it's that person's fault, and it's that person's fault, and it's everyone's fault. And this is how the false ego rebuilds itself continuously. That's not humility, certainly. That's pride. And then it's also not humility, oh, it's my fault again, and I'm so bad, and falling into depression, etc., about how bad I am, so bad. I. And then you want to talk to everyone about how bad you are all the time, and everyone just wants to turn it off and change the channel. Because no one really cares how bad you are. They want to think about themselves all day long. I once, sometimes you see something. I once walked into a university professor's office in University of Kuala Lumpur. Also many, another little story. I can't remember what I was going to ask him to do, but something to do with preaching, I think. But he had a little sign in his office. You know, university professors, they like to keep little cartoons and signs in their offices for some reason. I don't know why, but they all have them. And this one had one that actually changed my life. Now that's enough to make everyone want to know what it is, isn't it? It said, I used to worry about what other people were thinking about me until I realized that no one was thinking about me. They were all thinking about themselves. It's true. So, thinking about how bad I am is not humility, but what is humility is touching our insufficiency with the consciousness. Soon as we touch it with our consciousness, soon as Krishna, by Krishna's mercy, he makes us aware of some insufficiency or another out of our millions of insufficiencies, then immediately, this is what humility is, you call out to Krishna for help. That's what humility is. So the third verse of the Shikshastrakam talks about a way to chant, a mood in chanting, other than just a step above trying to listen to one mantra, which is a very important step, but a step more advanced than that, that gives us the ability to chant always Kirtaniya Siddha Hari. Is understanding that I can't do this by my own power because I am a fallen soul. And not only that, I'm an insignificant soul. I am insignificant. This is something very hard for a conditioned soul to accept, that I am insignificant. And there's nothing we can do about it. We are insignificant. And that's all we can ever be. How do you feel about that, Odoria? All we can ever be is an insignificant servant of Krishna. You can't progress up the corporate ladder. Once when I was in Vrindavan, I looked at there was a particular picture of Krishna that I had on my wall. And there was Krishna was there and he was holding some cows, and the whole picture, as I remember it, seemed to be full of cows. There were like hundreds and thousands of cows, and Krishna was holding one. And all to the distance there was cows and cows and cows. And suddenly, by the mercy of Vrindavan, I had a glimpse of what the spiritual world was like. That Krishna had billions and billions and billions, unlimited billions of servants there. Unlimited servants. Unlimited cows, mothers, girlfriends, boyfriends, everything. And they all had no other desire than to serve him and please him. And then my next thought was, and all the top positions are filled already. And my next thought was, maybe I'm in the wrong movement. Because all we can ever be, all I can ever be, is an insignificant, insignificant servant. But of Krishna. And Krishna, of course, he relates, he can do the impossible because he's bahunishta, he's fixed on all his devotees. He can touch everyone directly. Everyone. Countless, countless souls. He can touch directly. But they have to be in the right consciousness. At the same time, he can touch them. So the third verse tells us how to chant when we become aware of our inabilities in any way, in any field. We just coat our chanting with, "Oh Krishna, without your mercy, what can I do? I'm dependent." And that's called Saranagati. When we learn to depend on Krishna, this is actually, instead of our own power, our own abilities, we learn how to depend on Krishna. That is the doorway that we have to walk through to get to the realm of bhakti. Dependence on Krishna, go through varanam dada. And they have so much intelligence again. I must have this, I must have that, this, that, this, that, and that. Whatever it is not enough. We have to depend on Krishna's mercy, his kindness. And why does a soul do that? What causes a soul to come to the point of, "Okay, Krishna, I've had enough. I'm yours. Do with what, please be merciful to me, but whatever you do, I'm yours." It's what causes a soul to do that is when he has no other choices, basically. "I've tried everything and it hasn't worked. I have nothing left except dependence on you." We'll try everything before doing that one, before depending on Krishna, actually becoming his servant and depending upon him. Saranagati, surrender. We'll try everything and resist that. But at some point, when Krishna favors us, or when he knows we're ready, he says, "Well, I'm here. And you have no other choice." Well, well, what are you going to do? And that point may come early in our life, or it may come at the moment of death, or it may come in our next life, or the one after that. That's up to us at Krishna. How, what we want, and how he chooses to deal with us. But that mood of dependence can coat our chanting on the level of the third verse. But that's not the end. That's the beginning, in fact. Now the fourth verse, which is the final one we'll speak about, is, say it, "Nadanam nadanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadishta kamani mamatanamani janmanishvare bhavastad bhakti rahaita kitvai." The first verse of chanting is the point of shraddha or faith. The second verse, where we become aware of our anartis and try to chant attentively, is the stage of anatta nirvritti. And then when we completely depend on Krishna in every circumstance, when we completely depend on Krishna, when he becomes our shelter, our refuge in every circumstance, that is the stage of nishtha, and that is the platform of fixedness. When we are fixed in that when something happens, suki duki bolo nake vadane harinam korore. When something happens good, we turn to Krishna. When something happens bad, we turn to Krishna. When we're bored, we turn to Krishna. When we're not bored, we turn to Krishna as our only shelter. That platform is the platform of the third verse of nishtha, or fixedness. And again, that is the platform upon where bhakti begins. Real bhakti begins. Up to that point, where, according to some acharyas, it's bhakti because it leads to bhakti, and according to other acharyas, it's not bhakti because it's not bhakti. Vishnu Sakavati Thakur says, Karma Yoga, offering Krishna the fruits of your work while you remain the center, is bhakti because it leads to bhakti. Baladev Vidyabhusana says it's not bhakti because Krishna is not the center yet. But there's no contradiction, just different ways of looking at it. The fourth verse is when you become aware of the desires in your heart. If you're fixed in taking shelter of Krishna, that mood of dependence on Krishna cooks your chanting and your life, and you become aware, nadanam nadanam the sundarim, I have so many external desires other than wanting to serve Krishna. I don't want them there, but I have them. They may be subtle, I may not be acting on them, but they're there. Nadanam means wealth. I have desires for wealth. Nadjanam, followers. Desires for people to say, oh, what a good speaker he is. What a powerful devotee, what a nice devotee. This is motivating the service that I do. It's not yet pure. Not just for Krishna. I have these subtle contaminations that can turn to gross contaminations too. Nadanam nadjanam the sundarim. Sundarim means want beautiful ladies to be attracted, or beautiful men to be attracted and like to have them following you. Or sundarim kavita means even to be attracted by fine verse and poetry on the material level. The subtle things of life, happinesses of the mode of goodness, symphonic music and orchestras. No longer do you like hard rock and heavy metal, but now you're purified and you like Mozart, Bach, and Stravinsky. I don't know. You like Stravinsky? So when you become aware that these kavita, and then the most difficult to get rid of at all, nandanam nandanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamani mama janamini janamishvare, that what's pushing me to serve Krishna is I'm just so tired of suffering in this world. I'll even serve Krishna so I don't have to suffer anymore. So I want to get out of this world. I don't want to be born again. So that, in one sense, is the most subtle and difficult desire to remove from the heart. And it's because what Krishna wants is loving devotion. Not motivated devotion. If I'm serving somebody to get something from me, it's not really service, it's not really love. It's selfishness, another form of selfishness. So to perform devotional service, the purpose of getting released from the material world and not having to take birth again, is selfish devotional service, and it's not pure devotional service. So these, when one becomes aware, after one takes shelter of Krishna, visit Santa, and then it doesn't end there, but then you one becomes aware of these subtle desires that still contaminate the heart, these ones that we mentioned, that still are in the heart, and then one doesn't want them. So, not dhanam, sundari, let it all come to me. Let me chant Hare Krishna and become wealthy and popular and on and free. No, nadanam, nasandari, I don't want these things. And yet they're in my heart. The tension between these two. I don't want them, and yet they're there. But I only have one refuge, and that is your mercy. And from that, when one is on that platform and continuously turns to Krishna, when one is chanting or in one's life, but we're talking specifically about chanting here, when one continuously turns to Krishna, when one becomes aware of these more subtle desires that contaminate the heart, then Krishna awards such a chanter with taste in the holy name, Ruchi. And this verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, describes the stage of Ruchi. So there are different levels of chanting, and it increases even more in the next stage of Shanti, which we won't talk about. The next verse really gets even higher from Ruchi, and Jiva Goswami explains Edam Vrata Priyanama. Kirti or something like that. But if you chant on the level of taste, that will gradually give birth to prema, love for Krishna. So if we can get to that point of taste, we're very fortunate. But we have to. And it all begins with chanting offenselessly. This was what Prabhupada wanted us to do, before, as soon as I came in, Gunava Tapa, who had all the devotees with their obeisances, the Vansha Kalpa Tubias Jati, Pasinubayavacha, Takitanam Pabinika, Vaishnava, the reason why Prabhupada instituted that in the temples, he had the devotees do that every day, was because this is requesting the devotees, offering obeisances to the devotees, each of the devotees, respectfully. Because when we're together, there's a tendency, because familiarity breeds contempt, to talk badly about each other and think badly about each other, being conscious of the faults of others. We offend others, other devotees. And this is abhorrent, offenses. And this will stop our advancement. So therefore, to stop this from hurting our spiritual lives, Prabhupada had in the temples, he instituted that each day the devotees would offer their obeisances to each other and basically asking if I've done anything either that I'm aware of or not aware of that has hurt you or offended you, please forgive me. But as it is with so many of the things that we do every day, including chanting and that, it tends to turn mechanical and meaningless. Just a ritual with no meaning attached to it. But this is the meaning. This is why Prabhupada asked us to do it. There's such a tendency for things that we do every day to be mechanical and empty of meaning, empty rituals. They're not meant to be. We have to bring our consciousness, understanding to what we're doing. for it to have the effect that we want to have.
Okay, so I've just explained, I tried my best to explain the first four verses of the Shiksha-stikam, and now what I would like to do is start chanting. But since we just spoke for quite a long time, I think it's better if we all take a 10-minute break, and then we'll chant for a while. And we'll try to chant, do some serious chanting. So why don't we take a 10-minute break? So during this time, so, yes.
Just enough, I want to make a note.
Okay.
בעשר דקות הפסקה, כל מי שיש לו חלובים, ג'אפה, שיביא אותם, ומי שאין לו, יש לי שקים כאן של חלובים.
So according to my watch, it's now 13 minutes to 12. So why don't we meet back here at 12, according to my watch, if you don't mind. We'll synchronize our watches. And then we'll begin chanting. Huh? Okay, and then we'll talk just for a minute perhaps. But then we'll chant. We'll chant Krishna's holy names and Japa. We'll try our best to focus our mind, and we'll do that. And then we'll have time for questions and everything and discussion of how we did. But come back at 12, get plenty of oxygen in your coursing through your blood, etc. Come back with fresh mind. Thank you.
The key to doing it, because if you start, because the mind tends to just start, once it starts really moving and moving, it's so hard to bring it back. I start thinking, oh, I didn't chant that mantra well, oh, what am I going to do? I bet he's chanting better than me, I bet this one's chanting better than me, and maybe I'll be able to chant better the next 4 or 5 months. You know, it just starts going and talking and talking and talking and talking. Just try to hear one word. And wherever the mind wanders, that's the fourth principle, just bring it back to the simple task of hearing. And don't try not to enter into conversations with yourself about it. Just try to hear one mantra. So to make it a little easier, we'll all chant together in the beginning at a common speed. And it'll be a little slow, which makes it a little harder for some reason. So, but we'll begin. So, and then, okay, let's chant together. So make your determination, which means know what the task is right now. Just hear one mantra. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Stop. How did you do in your game? Raise your hand if you think you heard one mantra. How did you do? Anyone want to say how they did? What was going on? Yes.
I found that when everyone was saying it together, the same phrase, they wanted to do something.
Okay.
So it was very mechanical.
What I would suggest is either you can move some of the less people, or in a few minutes we're going to stop doing that, so it'll shift anyway. But don't worry about it being mechanical, because the mind will say, hey, this is really mechanical. Then another part of you will say, that's not so mechanical. And yes, it is. No, it's not. Or I don't like it because there's so many. It'll just start and start and start. Don't worry about what it is or what it isn't. Just try to hear one mantra. Just keep your mind focused on that one task. That's my suggestion on it. But we will stop this way of doing it. Anyone else like to say how they did? Pardon? I mean, just hear the sound. That's what I mean. Right. Anywhere, any of the above. Some people hear that when they're chanting really nicely, it's more in the heart. Some people more in the head, some people maybe more in the ear. But never mind, let it be where it is, but just hear it. That's my suggestion right now. Don't try to manipulate where it is. Just wherever it is, just try to focus the consciousness upon the holy name. Try to bathe your consciousness in the sound vibration of Krishna's name. That's all I'm trying to do. Okay, let's try it again. We'll do a few of these. Okay. One, two, three.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Stop. I don't like having to say stop when everyone's chanting, but just for our little exercise. Anyone like to say how they did? Yes.
It was really hard for me to listen to the whole mantra, but then I started to just listen to the first Hari.
Yes.
And it really helped to listen to the whole mantra.
Yes, thank you. I also do that sometimes. Just hear the first Hari or listen to the Hari and everything else falls into place. Thank you, I also do that one. Anyone else? Like to say how they did?
The first time I was, I didn't hear so much. In the end, I start hearing, and then it just stopped.
Yeah.
And then this time I said that to myself, okay, keep hearing. So I noticed I'm speaking with myself instead of speaking.
What is it called when someone is talking to themselves all the time? We're all a little bit funny inside, maybe. So, okay, try it again. We'll make the sankalpa. All I have to do, no matter what my mind is going to tell me, and it will say something or another, just one thing. Just do one thing. Try to hear the Hare Krishna mantra. Did you want to say something? Yes. How do you? Very good. You were able to listen to our Hari? Very good, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
If I can chant at my own speed. And then another part of the mind will say, but we're not chanting at that right now. This is so difficult. And another part will stop, and then just talk and talk and talk to yourself. So just keep your mind focused on the simple, simple task. It takes a little bit of attempt to control the mind of just hearing one mantra. No matter what your mind says, just try to hear one mantra.
Yeah. Keeping wondering what I miss here, because I hear that voice, I hear the word.
Yes.
What do you miss?
You're hearing each of the words of the Hare Krishna mantra, of one mantra. Very good.
But
just keep chanting and hear.
I'm confused because it is very obvious to hear this, to hear Krishna name while chanting, while listening.
Raise your hand if it's easy for you all the time to hear Krishna's names while you're chanting Krishna's names. So you're a lucky man.
You're happy.
So how wonderful.
To break the mantra into two names each time and then make special intonation at the beginning of each two names, and then consecutively it works now.
Okay. That's more complicated than I could do probably myself. But if it works, if it helps you to hear Krishna's name, okay. The point is the hearing. Oh, yes, and then we'll start the chant. Yes.
Is it better to hear it through our own voice or through the crowd, like through the overall voice?
While everyone is chanting, it's hard to, as long as you're hearing the mantra. But when you're chanting later, very soon, even the next time we chant, we'll go into our own voices. And then, of course, it's more important to hear your own voice. Okay, so what we'll do this time is we'll chant for a while, same way, and then at some point I'll say, chant at your own speed. And then the shift from all chanting together to chanting at a speed in a way that's comfortable for you. And if it's easier for you to sit somewhere else, feel free to do that. Once we start that. But keep your mind on the one simple task. Go back to this one simple task. Listen to what? To one mantra. Don't make it complicated. Don't make it, I have to listen to every mantra even. Just listen to one mantra. And if you can do that, let's be happy.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
turns into love. And then when we know who we are in relationship with Krishna, that's the next stage.
When I first tried to my first mission to the mantra, I found it was very difficult, but then when I surrendered the mind, I felt that the mantra itself it like opened to me, like looking for something like that, imagination. But the mantra itself reveals itself by
it's unlimited what the Hare Krishna mantra can reveal.
but be a little careful in the sense of, like one time on 26 Second Avenue, one girl, after they had a kirtan, one girl said that when I chant, I feel a great blue and purple colors appear as I'm chanting. And Prabhupada said, don't worry, it'll go away. So don't get attracted by the colors and the sound, you know, just try to hear the mantra. How did you do? This one? That one?
Over. I didn't hear anything.
Huh?
I didn't hear anything and then I got very sad.
Okay. Now what do you do when you get sad?
Can you chant? But then I heard one holy name.
You heard one holy name?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not quiet.
So it is already. Prabhupada was praying this way. Just imagine if you heard two holy names, what would happen? When will that day be mine, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is? That's when I chant Krishna's names and tears will stream down my eyes like times of pain. Kabe, Habe, Bhavati, when will that day be mine? See, next time I chant, see if you can hear a second name. By the mercy of the name. Don't depend on your strength. Depend on Krishna's kindness. And be happy to accept whatever kindness He showers you with. That's my advice. Let's try it again. You want to say something?
Yeah, to be determined is not our strength. It's not to depend on our strength.
But we should do our part. Our part is to try. So we should be determined to try to hear. The success doesn't depend on our strength. And don't worry if you can't do it. The success is what is Krishna's mercy and we accept. But our part is to try our best. And be happy if we try our best. Sincerely try, that's what we do. But to sincerely try, we should know what the task is that is before us that we're trying to do. So this time it's just to hear one mantra. Breathe a few times, maybe for the purpose of doing that, open the windows so we can have some fresh air. You can breathe some fresh air. Okay, and if your dog wants to come in and chant, whose dog is that? That's yours, yeah. She's a good one. If she wants to come in and chant, she can.
She said already in the morning.
She was around today. I've heard it said that some dogs chant "rum, rum," but I'm not really sure.
You mean this is their swarup?
That's the dog I meant. Okay. Now, nothing happens unless we remember what the task is, what we're trying to do. We're trying to hear. Hare Krishna Mantra. How did you two do? Natalie and what else? Did you hear one mantra?
Yes.
Very good.
I just
heard that
it's not helping me when I try too hard to listen.
I just try to let go and listen. Were you able to listen when you didn't try hard to listen but let go and listen?
Yes.
Very good.
have our own ways of dealing with it.
Our own. Yeah, very good. Then don't try and listen, just let God listen. How did you do?
First, the background sounds very disturbed.
זה היחסים שלי, כן, זה כי אני עובד שזה מקום של יחסים שהם רק שלי מפריש מהמקום של לשמוע אותם.
She said that once she could focus on the fact that this is her own personal relationship to Krishna, then it focused her on the mantra and helps her to be.
You and Krishna, the holy name Krishna. He can hear us. Keep it simple.
I have some questions. If we're supposed to listen to one mantra, then what we do and the second one? And if we listen to one, then
we start.
We
should. If you want to, you can. That's up to you. Well, I can tell you what I do. If I'm able to hear a mantra, I want to hear another one. That's what usually happens to me because the taste is very satisfying.
Without chanting.
I try to put my mind only on the one that is on my tongue right now. Because that's where my freedom is, the one I'm chanting now. It's not chanting two mantras, because I can only chant one at a time. Really, I can only chant one name at a time. So what you do after you chant and hear one mantra, you can decide what you'd like to do. Okay. Try again. See, we all have different kind of minds, in case you haven't noticed. Just try to work out the best way for you to hear one mantra and do that. Or one name. And if you can hear one name of Krishna, you're so lucky. So lucky. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
You're so lucky. Hare Krishna. Oh, at our own speed. Let's chant it at our own speed. And chant one round. But not at the same time. Just chant one round.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Thank you.
Thank you.
Whatever the mind wants to, just bring it back to the sound of Krishna's name.
Which name was it? Say it again. Anyone else? How did you do?
Is the knowledge help us to chant for a better than the reading?
Sometimes, if we read a little bit before chanting or say some prayers, it can set a nice mood in the mind that will give the chanting some extra sweetness. But sometimes it can distract us also. So you can see what helps your chanting and listening. And do that. Sometimes, different times I've tried many things. I've tried sometimes look at pictures, and for some devotees that may work, but I found that I end up setting up 20 pictures, 30 pictures, and taking some time to set it up and trying to look, and I never get around to the simple thing of hearing one mantra. And the mind was just looking for another thing to do other than hear. So the essential point, essence, is to hear. And let everything else come naturally from the hearing of Krishna's holy name. The holy names are unlimitedly deep. There's unlimited nectar in Krishna's holy name.
I realize that I cannot hear Krishna's name without his attractive nature. So I'm fervently praying for his attraction to act upon me.
You know what you should do? You should try to hear a Hari. Because that's Srimati Radharani. Anyone else like to say it? Yes.
I felt that to be in the association with the devotees and to chant, in the beginning I used to avoid it. I used to chant alone and only try to listen to my voice and but actually it helped me so much when everybody was chanting around and no way to get the mind to run away. And when I relax and just listen to the matter that I was vibrating, I realized that I can hear my voice even though it was weak, but I could hear it among the others.
Anyone else?
I find that a lot of the time, the first half of the mantra, I say to myself to listen. I tell myself to listen, and then the second half is the only time when I can listen from the better thing.
Hearing the second half is the key to hearing the first half. It goes round and round. So don't worry, just try to hear the first hari. That can help a lot. The first hari. Sometimes if you can, with your ear, if you can catch the first hari, then it just makes it very easy. But that's when the mind is already moving. Yes.
Sometimes when I say the word in different tunes, not the same tune.
More like singing it
kind of like
in your mind?
Sometimes. Not even in my mind. Sometimes when I kind of like instead of saying it all the time in the same tune, I kind of like move, my mind goes away. But sometimes when I add like flavor.
Yes, the point is that if it helps you to hear, do it, because sometimes the mind demands some change. Now, how long do I have to keep doing this? Okay, we'll compromise. You can sing for one mantra, and that will, it attracts again. But the mind is always going to want something changing, because that's the nature of the Lord of Passion. When the mind is in goodness, it's very, very peaceful. So if it helps to mentally sing a little bit, Hare Krishna, and you can hear that, that's wonderful. The only thing you have to be careful about, then the mind starts making more demands. It wants drum accompaniment, and then bass guitar, and then you're gone. Keep it as simple as practical. Not as simple as possible, but as simple as practical. Try your best. Anyone else like to say anything?
And it's been quite trembling because at the start I had something sensitive and emotional sensitive to go in there. And then his mind started to say how wonderful you will be able to tell Guruji and after the rest. How much good sensitive you are doing. So it distracted me so much with I felt that my connection to Krishna is closed, and I didn't want to happen, so I only beg for Krishna to remove it. It was much better.
So that's moving from the first stage is just chanting. No matter what, whether your mind is there or not, just keep chanting and trusting that. And the second stage is where you're listening. And the third stage is when you realize you don't have the power to listen, you don't have the power to do this, so you beg Krishna to allow you, and you take shelter of Krishna's holy name. So that's the stage of humility, when you realize your limitations. And you realize that only by Krishna's mercy, with his protection, that you'll succeed. So just keep taking shelter in that way. Even if, no matter what happens, if it seems bad, if it seems good, if you're able to listen, if you're not able to, keep trying and pray to Krishna to help you.
And then I have a realization, yes. Because I feel all the devotees very much trying to chant, and this reminded me that in the Japa retreat last year, the devotees there, the Dharma Dhamma,
yeah.
So it was very sweet.
So you thought of Sakyatamba. I was also wondering I was sort of suggesting mentally go to a place, any place you want, and think of yourself chanting there. But I didn't want to complicate it. But you went there anyway to Sakyatamba. I also visited one time during the last hour. The Baba who lives at Tarkatamba this year, because there were about 100 devotees, no, 80 or 90 devotees, very seriously chanting all day long. And, you know, not talking, not socializing, just that one day they were just chanting from when we got there until it started getting dark. And the atmosphere was so sweet and so powerful. And the Baba there, he was appreciating. He said, this is the best thing to do at Tarkatamba, just chant and chant and chant and chant. Anyone else like to say anything? Yes.
I felt tired when I was talking to mine. I said, this is only excuse. Even when I'm not tired, you don't have the taste, you cannot eat them.
And what did your mind respond to that? Good argument. What did he say? You don't remember? I don't remember. Because he defeated him.
This time I was just starting, when we just started chanting, immediately the mind feels discomfort. The body feels down, really like a bit of resistance to the Holy Name. And after a few mantras, the resistance succeeds. And I also noticed that when I'm not breathing between the two half parts of the mantra, when I'm breathing with the breath and taking the thought, immediately the mind starts to come.
So you should stop breathing. That's one way to stop thinking. That is the only way to stop thinking. That's why, because we started chanting Hare Krishna, and I know that when there's spaces between the words, the mind, that there's jump between those spaces, so it's easier actually to chant a little faster if I chant very slowly, it would be easier for me to concentrate. But the mind is so slippery, it's just between the words it starts running. Anyone else like to say anything?
I was wondering about a few things in some regards, because I, in some lectures and so on, I came to hear a lot of the elders and devotees that chanted more than 20 years and so on came to say that they chanted so long and nothing actually happened to them. And with these devotees that I spoke with many times, I got always many times the feeling, and sometimes I get as well, that japa becomes actually more in kind of an obligation, and it's kind of something that sometimes you feel like binding you to, and it's actually you have to do, and you feel yourself in kind of the form of, let's say, a kind of a round machine or something like that, that you're supposed to do it every day, whether you like it or not like it. It's kind of a thing that it is of kind of just put on you. And I find it many times pretty hard to find a way to overcome this actual feeling.
May I answer? If we chant Hare Krishna and let our mind just wander all over the universe, as the tendency is to do, then the effects will be very minimal, small, and a long time in coming. But if we actually listen to Krishna's holy name as we chant and understand that the mindfulness of it
not the mechanical act, but actually putting the mind to what we're doing, is in what is the essence of it, then we will get results, and not after 20 years or 10 years or 5 years, but after 1 minute. And then, still more, if putting the mind to it helps so much, but the quality of the mind really is what makes the difference. So if we chant, taking shelter of the holy names, which is really the third stage, where we're depending on Krishna and his kindness, that he's a person, and he is his name, and we're depending on him, if that's coating or permeating our the mantras that we chant, that our consciousness is filled with that, then the result is very, very fast. Taking shelter, namaskaya, coating, jatinatoni. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Take shelter of the holy names. And then, what to speak of is this bhakti, devotion, as we say the names. Just like, raise your hand if you've been to Loy Bazaar. Just like Loy Bazaar. When you walk in Loy Bazaar, so many of the people will say, Hare Krishna Prabhu! Hare Krishna Prabhu! So when they say Hare Krishna Prabhu, what do you hear?
Money.
You buy something, give me money. They're saying Hare Krishna, you're hearing, give me money. So, because their motivation is not Hare Krishna, it's give me money. So Krishna, if I can hear what they're thinking as they're chanting, certainly Krishna can hear what I'm thinking as I'm chanting. So if I'm chanting with devotion, he hears that. And if I'm chanting with, oh, how many more left, how many more minutes left, how long do I have to go on with this, he hears that. But if he hears that a sincere devotee is trying to listen, or trying to take shelter, or to speak of chanting with some affection for the names, then he hears that. And that namasraya, chanting with shelter, and then later chanting with devotion for Krishna, that brings very fast results. And the other, just chanting and chanting and chanting mechanically with no mind, it will bring results, but after time. So we try our best to chant with consciousness, and then with surrender, and then with devotion. Surrender means dependence on Krishna. How does it feel to be at the mercy of another?
For me, many times disaster.
Yeah, that's the feeling of every conditioned soul. Terror. To place oneself in the hands of another. But amazingly enough, when we don't want to take shelter of Krishna, it's not that we don't take shelter of anyone, we take shelter of our own mind. And who has proved itself more untrustworthy than my mind? And rather we take shelter of our mind rather than Krishna, because we don't trust. But we already know that our mind is completely criminal. I don't mean you, me too, me especially. So, but still I have unflinching faith in my mind. So this is... But for a conditioned soul, it's very, very frightening to think that I'm at the mercy of another. So we also fear putting ourselves at the mercy of Krishna, but that is what surrender means. Krishna, I'm yours. You can do with me if you like. And that's when I read that verse. Remember, I read that verse yesterday, telling those three characteristics of Krishna, that if you offend him, he doesn't take it as an offense. If you do something a little bit for him, he takes it as great. And if you even become inimical to him,
He doesn't become his enemy's enemy. He has that kind of a mind. Yes, he has a mind. That kind of a quality. Selena, okay, I can't remember the rest of it. Purusha told me now. He has that kind of a consciousness. So that is the kind of person that we can trust. And that's what we want to do, is develop our relationship with Krishna. Have enough experience, reason, sastra, so we can trust Krishna despite the fear within the mind. Hearing is the heaviest thing. As we say, eating, sleeping, living, defending. Those are the four characteristics of a conditioned soul. Out of the four, defending, which is based on fearing, is the most primal, is the most basic. It's at the root of our material existence, fear. Bhayam vritya abhidaseshatat syat. And fear is what immediately comes when we accept, when we feel ourselves separated from Krishna. It is exactly what comes when we turn our back on Krishna, fear. Because then we're thinking we're alone and everything depends on me. And that is a fearful situation in fact. Because the reality is that if everything depends, my welfare depends on me, but in fact I'm not in control of anything. So of course we're afraid. So that's the existential condition of every conditioned soul, fear. We may hide it, we may bluff others, but inside everyone is afraid.
Because for me it was many times that what I try to do is actually to try to make a certain kind of attachment to the act itself as well, in the sense of making a certain conditioning that even if when I take the japa I start feeling a certain kind of relaxation and stuff like that, to be able to as well create kind of a more positive attitude in some regards to overcome this sometimes feeling of obligation, so to say.
But my suggestion, not that you shouldn't do that, because you have to run your machine in a way that works, but it's just to hear. Focus on hearing. And one mantra, and the taste of that will fill your chanting with some life. And then you won't feel it's just obligatory. Chanting is an opportunity to meet Krishna, to be with him and her. Hare. It's an opportunity to be close with Krishna. The time of the day when you have the opportunity, when you have nothing else to do except that. Any other questions or comments?
In part of the Japa retreat, I did have the to do my round the faster than that. Now I try other tradition and it takes me more time and people disturb me because it takes more than 2 hours.
How much more than 2 hours?
About
25 minutes. Okay, that's... and you're hearing better?
Yeah.
Okay. Which is better? To chant your rounds efficiently and quickly in 5 minutes and not hear anything? or to take you a little longer and take 2 hours and 25 minutes instead of 18 times 5 is 1.5 hours, and you don't hear anything, and then after 40 years you're saying, you know, this is my obligation, but I do it very efficiently. But I haven't gotten anything, but I've gone nowhere very efficiently. So you have to decide what you want to do. But you can, I mean, theoretically, it takes the same amount of time to chant inattentive rounds as it does to chant attentive rounds, at least theoretically. So you can speed up, probably, and not lose anything, once, especially if you're chanting better already. But if it happens that it takes a little bit longer, it's probably worth it, I would say.
give that as your offering to the Holy Name.
Do someone else want to say something?
Yes.
When we chant here, I sense that I could listen to one mantra in full. So I was speaking spontaneously that I took a deep breath and then I get a kick to the mind. Because I felt you were going to jump. So I jumped into another mantra. And I was able to do a few mantras like that. But then the mind rebelled, retaliated, and
sounds like a soap opera. The return of the mind.
And then I made friends with them. And then it was more relaxed.
Yeah, how did you make friends?
I just said, okay, this time. I'm not going to kick you this time.
But first you kicked it, and then it was ready to make friends. It said, I better watch out for this fellow. He's going to kick me again, and that's unfriendly. So we have to work out, we all have our own little peculiar ways that we deal with our minds and get it to be a little peaceful so we can hear. So do what you need to do, but the point being the hearing. Instead of, because you can also get so much into the dealing with the mind part of it that you never get around to the hearing part of it. And it's so much easier if you, in the very beginning, you develop a habit that when I'm chanting japa, I'm supposed to be listening. Because old habits are very hard to break. So the earlier you can just accept that I'm supposed to hear Krishna's names, even if it takes a little longer, it doesn't necessarily have to, but even if it takes longer, I'm going to try to associate with Krishna for his holy name, because that's what we're doing. Let me read a little pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. This is not this particular pastime, but this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like in Jagannath Puri. How much an intense desire he had to love Krishna. He was exhibiting, Krishna himself came as a devotee to teach us how to attain Krishna. One day, while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to the sea to bathe, he suddenly saw a sand dune named Chataka Parvata. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mistook that sand dune for Govardhan Hill, and he ran towards it. He said a verse from the Bhagavatam as he ran. Hantyanadriya Valharida Svabharjo Yad Nama Krishna Charanas Parisha Pramoda Manantanoti Sarko Ganayos Payo Yat Padiya Surya Vasta Kandara Kandara Mulai. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. All my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram as well as their calves, cows, and cowherd boyfriends with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, soft grass, caves, fruit, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. And being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears jubilant, happy. Reciting this verse again and again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he thought the sand dune was Govardhan Hill. And he ran towards the sand dune as fast as the wind. And Govinda, his servant, ran after him. But he could not keep up with him. First one devotee shouted loudly, and then a tumultuous uproar arose as all the devotees stood up and began to run after the Lord. Sri Kamara Goswami, Jagannanda Pandit, Garada Pandit, Ramai, Nandai, Shankara Pandit are some of the devotees who ran after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Brahmananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati also went towards the beach. And Bhagavan Acharya, who was lame, followed them very slowly. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running at the speed of the wind. And he suddenly became stunned in ecstasy. And he lost all strength to proceed further. The flesh at each of his pores erupted like pimples, and his bodily hairs standing on end appeared like Kadamba flowers. Blood and perspiration flowed incessantly from every pore of his body, and he could not speak a word, but he simply produced a goggling sound within his throat. The Lord's eyes filled and overflooded with unlimited tears, like the Ganga and the Jamuna meeting in the sea. His entire body faded to the color of a white conchal, and then he began to quiver like the waves in the ocean. While quivering in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down on the ground. Then Govinda approached him. This was the action of the prema bhakti, the love for Krishna, that was erupting in his heart. Govinda sprinkled water from a water pot all over the Lord's body, and then, taking his own outer garment, he began to fan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sukh Kamada and the other devotees reached the spot and saw the condition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They began to cry. All eight kinds of transcendental transformations were visible in the Lord's body, and all the devotees were struck with wonder to see such a sight. The devotees loudly chanted the Hare Krishna mantra near Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they washed his body with cold water. After the devotees had been chanting for a long time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly stood up and shouted, "Hari Bol!" When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up, all the Vaishnavas loudly chanted, "Hari Hari Hari Hari!" In great jubilation, because they were terrified to see him in such a stunned, unconscious condition. The auspicious sound filled the air in all directions. Astonished, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up and began looking here and there, trying to see something, but he did not catch sight of it. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw all the Vaishnavas, he returned to partial external consciousness and spoke to Sarupa Damodar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Who has brought me here from Govardhan Hill? I was seeing Krishna's pastimes, but now I cannot see them. Today I went from here to Govardhan Hill to find out if Krishna was tending his cows there. I saw Krishna climbing Govardhan Hill and playing his flute, surrounded on all sides by grazing cows. And hearing the vibration of Krishna's flute, Srimati Radharani and all of her gopi friends came there to meet him. They were all dressed so wonderfully. When Krishna and Srimati Radharani entered a cave together, the other gopis asked me to pick some flowers. Just then, all of you made a tumultuous sound and carried me from there to this place. Why have you brought me here, causing me unnecessary pain? I had a chance to see Krishna's pastimes, but I could not see them." Saying that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to weep. And when all the Vaishnavas saw the Lord's condition, they also wept. At that time, Paramananda Puri and Paramananda Bharati arrived. And seeing them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became somewhat respectful. They were elders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to complete external consciousness and immediately offered prayers to them. Then these two elderly gentlemen both embraced the Lord with loving affection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Puri Goswami and Brahmananda Bharati, "Why have the two of you come so far?" Puri Goswami replied, "Just to see your dancing, just to see your wonderful activities." When he heard this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt somewhat ashamed. Then he went to bathe in the sea with all the Vaishnavas. After bathing in the sea, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence with all the devotees. Then they all lunched on the remnants of food offered to Lord Jagannath. Thus I have described the transcendental ecstatic emotions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Lord Brahma cannot describe their influence. In his book, Garanga Stavakalpa Briksha, Sri
Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has very vividly described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime of running towards the Sattaka Parvata sand dunes. This is from the prayer of Raghunath Das Goswami. Near Jagannath Puri, a great sand dune known as Sattaka Parvata. Is a great sand dune known as Sattaka Parvata. And seeing that hill, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, I shall go running to the land of Braja to see Govardhan Hill." He then began to run madly towards it, and all the Vaishnavas ran after him. This scene awakens in my heart and makes me feel madness. Who can properly describe all the uncommon pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? They are all simply his play, his lila, a lokika lila. I've briefly described them just to give an indication of his transcendental pastimes. Nevertheless, anyone who hears this will certainly attain the shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Asa Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, always desiring their mercy, always needing their mercy, always praying for their mercies, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Okay, we'll end for that. Thank you very much. Now it's 1:30.
Thank you very much.
Very good. I'm so nice to connect with you all. Thank you.
when it speaks about Indo-European things.
It comes to me so much easier than it's regular than it. Do I get that of things, Mataji? Lama? Masho ime Nadu? Carpeter Nadu? Mm-hmm.